Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Turn this down. Welcome, everybody. It's Monday. It's the first day of the week. It's also the first stream of the week, actually the first stream of the last 2 weeks. We took a little bit of a break last week. We had quite a few things
going
on. Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, we are live.
Feedback. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. So we are we're back in action. We're going to be doing our weekly shows this week. We'll be live on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as usual. And we might do some other shows in between, depending on how my schedule is working out. I have quite a few things kind of moving around at the moment. So we'll see. We might do a call-in show on a Tuesday or a Thursday if we can fit it in. I'll try to update you guys on that. I'll probably make a post on Twitter when we know for certain. But nonetheless, we are here. And today we're going to do a show talking about culture. It's a little bit different from the topic that we were going to carry on the last show that we did. We analyzed half of a Hitler speech. I was kind of going through the back end of that speech, and it started to get a little bit less prescient to what we're experiencing today. It was talking less about our problems of today and more of kind of the German circumstance. So it kind of took away from the meaning of why we were reading the speech. So I don't think we're going to continue with that. I think rather we're going to move on and we're going to change the topic today into discussing culture, discussing what culture is by definition, how culture functions in societies. And, you know, a lot of this is essentially going to be a treatise against this modern multicultural worldview that is kind of praised today as this very progressive idea, which when you actually look at it on its face, it's a regressive idea rather than a progressive idea, because it's actually taking humanity and it's pulling us backwards. We're devolving rather than evolving. So we'll get into that a little bit. As usual, I'll let some people fill into the chats first. We'll kind of get comfortable here, and then we'll start with the topic. I see we've got someone in already. Modern culture is the worst culture in history. Yeah. Modern culture, well, it's actually hard to call it a culture. I guess maybe you could call it Jewish culture. I think that would be most accurate, because it's not necessarily just modern. It really is a product of Jewish thoughts, Jewish minds, something that they themselves probably would have been expressing interest in hundreds of years ago, just as they are today. So, yeah, I do agree, though. Modern culture is problematic, and that's kind of the reason for the show today. Want to discuss the importance of culture and why it's something that we need to make ourselves conscious of again. No Stopping It Welcome says, Zach, you look good. What happened to you? I shaved. That's probably what it is. I was feeling I don't know. I got a little lazy with the facial hair. I was trying to test out, see how it would look. Kind of wasn't my thing. I don't think it looks great on me. You know, maybe I can do a little bit of a goatee, but other than that, yeah. So maybe I just look a little bit more vibrant for the fact that I shaved. Probably look a little younger, maybe. Probably look 15. So to maybe kind of kick us into the direction of the topic today, and you know, we're always open to take thoughts from the chat and questions. I think that flows the conversation pretty well. So if you guys have any of your own thoughts, please feel free to throw them in. I see someone said Edward Bernays created consumer and celebrity culture in America. Yeah, we can certainly talk about that when we get into the discussion of America, because America itself. I'm thinking about doing an entire show based upon this, because America has experienced this degeneration of culture in a very unique way that probably didn't happen the same way in Europe. And actually, just as a really good example to this, the modern American media, the modern movie industry through Hollywood, which is founded and based in America, a lot of the culture, if you want to call it such, that seeds into Europe comes from America, right? From American movies, American Hollywood, popular American TV shows, popular American singers, celebrities, right? This is kind of the breeding ground for this new degenerated modern culture, and it slowly starts to weed itself over into Europe. Europe takes a lot of our different shows and celebrity figures, and they kind of follow those trends, which goes to show just how powerful this center of degeneration really is. It's like a force that is seeping out toxins into the rest of the world from this like local center. Yeah, I can certainly do that because I've made a thread talking about Edward Bernays, and we'll definitely talk about him a little bit today when we go into that, because yet again that has the same relations as other things that we discuss. You know, everything that was experienced in Weimar Germany is directly experienced here. It's a direct offset of what was happening there. So it's always good to kind of wrap that back into it and re-explain that process. Divinus in the chat, welcome. Nice to see you. Infinity, our Aquarius, welcome, brother. Thank you. I appreciate you. We're also doing a standing show today. I'm actually taking advantage of the standing desk. We haven't done that in a while. I feel a little more energy when I'm standing and doing a show. I kind of get like lackadaisical just sitting in a chair. Shadow says, if there were local chapters of a national or international order to gather and focus on white culture, white history, and threats to whiteness, would you actually take the time to attend regularly? Yeah, absolutely. I think we need that, right? It needs to be almost a system that's parallel to the system that exists today, because right now, most people, they get their culture or their attitudes or their worldview from essentially trends, modern trends, right? What's going on with a celebrity here? What's going on social media? What's the newest trend? People follow these trends, and as they follow the trends, well, obviously these are terrible degenerate trends that, you know, like these TikTok challenges of people eating fucking dish detergent pods and all these different weird things that you get. You know, people they're bored. Life is lacking in purpose. And it's a really easy void to fill yourself with to say, well, I want my purpose to be very big on social media. I want to have a lot of followers. I want to be a big influencer. And, well, obviously, if you want to do that, if you want to get yourself out there, the way to do it in this society is not to be a cultured person who behaves really well and is very disciplined. It's the contrary. It's actually to be a person who is very degenerate, very careless, and willing to do anything for any reason, right? So that is kind of where culture is seated in modern society, and you kind of grow into this very narcissistic, self-interested kind of culture. So what's needed right now is this parallel to it, this kind of opposite side, a diametric side. And we have this degenerate culture running this way, and we need something on the other side of the line that is actually providing people with good influence, good culture, right? Just as an example, one of the greatest ways that I myself was able to take an interest in culture and get to understand what culture really is was reading. I read, you know, a lot of the books that are behind me on the shelf. I read a lot of ancient history, ancient philosophy, and what these people kind of had to lay out. And it gives you a really good understanding of what your ancestral culture is. And that's not something they're going to teach you in modern schools, right? Modern schooling system is not teaching culture. It teaches these, you know, very basic, you know, math and science. And some of these things are necessary, especially math. You know, these are necessary things. Excuse me. But they have a limit to them, right? And when you learn history, for example, the basis of history, and this is also talked about in Mein Kampf very well, the basis of learning history in school today is you just learn some names and some dates. Hey, Napoleon ruled in this year, and he was the ruler in this area, and that's that, right? And you move on from that. That's what you take on the test. You know, where did Napoleon rule? What war did he fight in? They don't ask you, why did that war start? What caused that conflict? You know, they don't look into the societal implications of these things so that we can actually learn from the experience itself rather than just learn that the experience existed, right? It's like learning what a burger is, but not learning about all of the condiments and all of the different food that goes into a burger, right? So, oh yeah, I know that a burger is like patty on a bun, right? I know that that's an American staple of food, but I don't know what it is. What do they put lettuce on that? Do they put onion, right? If you don't know the ingredients that go into that, what's the point in knowing what it is? It doesn't really do you much good. So we got Zaruk blinking in. Welcome. It's nice to see you. Thanks for catching the show live. We got Fox Eye. Hello. Mariner, I haven't seen you in a while. Welcome, my friend. Hugo, yes. Julius Evola has really good works on that. Modern Society. What the hell is the name of it? Revolt Against the Modern World, right? Or Revolt Against Modern... Man, my brain is fried. That's the book. Good book by Julius Evola. I don't know why it's slipping my mind. Yeah, that's terrible, Divinus. That's awful. Good, Shadow. That's great. Yeah, that's necessary. That's necessary. Mariner says, culture is a living thing. Yeah, it's a product of living things, right? So it's always going to evolve as the people do themselves. So let's go into actually what culture is, you know, as a definition, right? So culture is, as Mariner said, it is a living thing, but as a definition, culture is your belief system, the things around you, the language that you speak, the ethics that you hold, the values that you see in society, the architecture that's around you, the art that is present, all of these things are a sign of culture. These are, they come from a specific people group. And when you pay very close attention, when you look at, for instance, they have these, from Africa, there's these like very long face statues and different pieces of art that are for their people. They come from their people, right? This could go into... there's actually a book that we're going to review on my show, most likely on the 20th of this month. So we'll talk about this book a little bit more. But this book sets a really good foundation of a different type of worldview that's not present today. It's a Myth of the 20th Century. One in the chat, if you guys are familiar with the book Myth of the 20th Century. Two, if you guys are not familiar with that work. Yeah, I agree. It's a big problem. This modern sports culture is a really big problem. That's a very big problem in modern society. That's what most men are doing. Yeah, Shadow, I agree with that. It's a tough thing because whatever education is set up, it has to be an actual formatted thing, right? It can't just be, oh, you know, here's a couple things that you might want to read. Here, you might want to look into this. It almost has to be like a schooling system in itself that has a very, you know, set standard to it. So anyway, this is discussed in the book Myth of the 20th Century by Alfred Rosenberg. For those who are not familiar, he was a political philosopher in the Third Reich. And he was one of the very early members of the National Socialist Party from like their inception. And he writes this book, Myth of the 20th Century. And the myth that he's hypothesizing or talking against, rather, is this idea that, you know, the human race is all one conglomerate race and we can all just do whatever we'd like and we're all one and the same. We just look different. And he theorizes and explains what he calls a racial soul. And this is really important. So he says that your soul or your inner character is your Well, it is your inner character, rather. Not the soul is the inner character of a people, right? And this is expresses itself through architecture, through language, through art, all these kind of different values inside of society. So that's what your soul is, right? And he says that the racial soul worldview states that each race of people has a very specific soul or spirit to them that is completely unique to them as a people. And this is really important because when you look at history, you can see how people groups create nations and they create their own, you know, political systems, they create their own architectures, and these have very distinct differences. Now, what's really interesting is if you go into Europe and you travel around Europe and you go all the different places, you go to Germany and you go to France and you go to Switzerland, you go to all these different places, you'll notice that although there are differences in the architectural style of the buildings, there might be differences in the languages, there are similarities in that, right? You know, a lot of these languages actually derive from one source language, Latin or Greek or German. English language, for example, most of our words in the English language physically derive from Latin. A lot of them derive from Greek, and a lot derive from German as well. So knowing that, you know, seeing how that functions, we have to understand that all of this is closely linked when you're looking at a body like Europe. Now, on the other hand, go to China and let's look at or Asia, rather. Let's look at Asia and look at all the different places in Asia. You can go to Vietnam, you can go to China, Japan, all of these different Asiatic places where the peoples are, you know, they're somewhat similar, but they're different. There's different cultures that are present from the different people. You know, you talk to Koreans and they hate Chinese people, and Chinese people hate Japanese people, and they all have their own, like, kind of little preference. And it's because the cultures are a bit different. Now, as an outsider looking in, if we look at the collective Asiatic people, we look at them and say, well, their cultures look very similar, right? When you look at Japanese compared to Chinese in its writing, when you just physically look at the way it's written, it looks very similar, right? They look like very similar languages if you don't have education on that, if you don't know more about it. And likewise, if they were to look at German and English and Latin, they would look at it and say, oh, well, those languages look really similar. They look very very much the same to my eye, to my untrained eye. So this shows you that these groups are, there are racial groups, very defined racial groups, okay? And this could be, again, we boil it down to color today, which I don't like because it's not descriptive. So we boil it down to the black people, the white people. We don't really say the yellow people, but that's essentially what it's boiled down to. They're lucky enough to not have had a label slapped onto them color-wise yet. So we have to look at these larger groups and recognize that each group has, again, different little subcategories inside of it. But nonetheless, the main core group, the larger apparatus, has a very distinct culture that's very unique to the other ones. So, for instance, a Frenchman going and living in Germany, the cultures are not radically different to an extent that, you know, it's completely unlivable or he's seen as a completely foreign and alien entity into the country. Now, on the contrary, if you take a black person from, like, sub-Saharan Africa in the middle of the Congo, and you throw somebody like that into Germany, these are very different cultures, like, completely, wholeheartedly different. They have different philosophies, they have different value systems, they have different worldviews, they have different behavior patterns, they have different foods, cultures, the whole nine yards, right? And now, if you mix this, this is the concept that is purported today in modern society, this idea of multiculturalism, which states that all of the cultures should kind of mix into this one umbrella, and we all just get along with each other. We can share each other's food and share each other's languages and go to each other's houses, and oh, it's so nice, it's so cool, right? But what we fail to recognize with this, accepting an idea like this, is all of these cultures are incompatible to a very large degree. As an example, and we've used this example on the show before, but this is a very simple example that I think is very easy for people to understand. Let's say a group of Hindus from India decides that they want to move to America and pursue the American dream, and they want to work in the Silicon Valley tech industry. And these, we'll say, 500 Indians, they come and they start, they all live in a little neighborhood, Silicon Valley, and they breed and they breed and they breed and they breed. And after a couple generations, now there's, you know, 3,000 of them, 4,000 of them. And they start taking positions of power in Silicon Valley. They start making a lot of money, getting high status in society. And now they decide, one of them decides, well, I don't want to do the tech thing. I actually want to, I'm a political guy, and I want to run for office. And this Hindu guy who is very religious, he very cares a lot about his Hinduism. He goes and he runs for Congress. And let's say, or he runs for state, okay? And he gets to be mayor of the state. Now, in his worldview, killing a cow is the most immoral thing in the world. Harming a cow in any way, shape, or form, eating a cow is a terribly immoral thing. That's their culture. That's what their people have decided is correct for them. The same way that Jews have decided that eating pork is bad, right? So now this Indian guy, he looks at his community of people and they start saying, hey, you know, I don't like that they're killing cows over here all the time. I think that's really bad. And he decides, okay, let's try to pass a bill where we're gonna vote against the slaughter of cows. And we no longer want to kill cows. Now, all of his people that are of his culture are going to instantly agree with that, and they're going to start voting for that. And then, now let's say his other buddy owns a newspaper company. That guy with the newspaper company can put out this really emotional hit piece against cattle slaughter and say, it's very inhumane, look how they do it, it's terrible to kill cows. Instead, we need to only eat vegetables, and that's how you can start manipulating women into being vegetarians. And then they start voting in this way. Now, the culture shifts. Once that law is passed, once these people are able to now take political authority inside of your country, the culture will shift overnight, almost instantly. Because what will happen is, let's say that they're able to pass that law. We can no longer slaughter cattle because it's immoral in their worldview. Now, all of the white farmers that have been making a living off of butchering cattle meat for hundreds of years, it's an ancestral thing for us. We've been doing it literally since our civilizational inception, right? That's why, again, the burger is the staple of America. It's because we have a lot of cows here, and that's what we're known to slaughter. It's what we're known to do. So now all the burger joints have to close down. All the farms have to stop killing cows. Everything changes overnight. And this is just one example. Now think about all of the different cultures that are coming here. We've got Asiatics that are coming here. We have Indians that are coming here. We have Mexicans that are coming here. We have Blacks that are coming here. We have other different white cultures that are coming here. We have Jews that are already here and have so much power that they're already changing laws, like Scott Wiener over in California, who's made laws enabling prostitution in the streets because for them, that's normal. It's okay. It's not a problem because that's their culture. That's what these people like. So all of this creates literal anarchy because you have 8 to 12 different culture groups now vying for what their idea of ethics and morals in society is. And at this point, we're in such a circumstance that because of the breakdown of the family unit, because of our lack of control in our own civilization, we don't have a lot of power in the media at this point, our own people are falling susceptible to other cultures because that's all they're growing up and learning. And it's their idea, they're getting this idea of American culture. But instead, it's actually just a culture that's, well, it's not a culture that's race-linked. It has nothing to do with the people group that founded the country of America. American culture used to have that. It used to be built on a work ethic. It used to be built on, you know, look at the colonial era, what a colonial home looks like, or look at the cars in the 40s and 50s. And now, look at American culture today. I mean, again, what is American culture? folks in the chat room, what is American culture in your eyes? We can name a couple things off the bat. Sports culture is a big one. What are some other things that constitute American culture in the modern age? Klasha, welcome. I see you're in here while we wait for people to chat. Pavlov, nice to see you, my friend. Hello. Yeah, I agree, Nick. Totally. Reducing to skin tone is just, it's idiotic. It ignores so many other factors. Rosenberg, in The Myth of the 20th Century, he says it very well. He says that culture, or race rather, this kind of skin tone, this outer shell, it's just an outward reflection of the inward soul, right? It's just an outward characteristic. Guns, yeah, guns is a big thing in America, which that shouldn't be American culture. That should be, you know, collectively our people's culture because of the reason that we have guns. Unfortunately, yes, nigger culture is becoming modern American culture, which I would actually argue, to even like take it a step further, I would say it's not even nigger culture. It's really Jewish culture that has been provided to blacks. It's like, imagine you went to the zoo and you gave like a group of monkeys in the zoo bananas and guns and all these different things and let them kind of just run rampant. It'd be hard to call what they're doing culture, right? If it's provided by somebody else and it's just allowed to them, because that's kind of the circumstance that we have in this nigger culture in America, with all of the degenerate rap music, do anybody who's watched like a random police cam footage of the arrogance and the self entitlement that you get out of these people, it's a product of being raised in just anarchy. It's primitive. I mean, really, that's the only way you can describe it. It's primitive. It doesn't have a culture to it. It doesn't have character. There's no disciplines or guidelines or rules. It's very instinctive and reactive, right? So, like one thing, for example, that I really is a fascinating thing to actually pay attention to is how blacks react to homosexuality, for the most part. Now, the ones that haven't been indoctrinated and fucking turned into faggots themselves, most blacks have an inherent disgust against faggotry. And it's because there is a natural repulsion. And they go, oh, God, what the fuck? What is that gay stuff? Right? We used to have that natural repulsion. We used to, in America, we used to look at a homosexual and give him the stink eye and go, oh, what the fuck? What is he doing? Right? And because of that social pressure, they kept it in the closet. Now that social pressure has been relieved, or actually really robbed of us. The social pressure doesn't exist because you're not allowed to have the social pressure anymore. If you say, oh, that guy's a disgusting faggot, you get banned on social media. If you say that guy's a disgusting faggot, everybody wants to virtue signal and kick you out of the business, right? So that inherent instinct that is present is being rooted out of us psychologically. And blacks, because they're basically taught to be primitive and free range and, you know, anytime that anybody says something against you, it's just white supremacy, so just do whatever the hell you want. They're still operating entirely upon that instinctive apparatus. So they have the natural reactions that we should have to things, right? A really good example, if you go to Section 8 and you see a white guy walking into Section 8, you know, he's got Wigger culture and he's dressing like a Wigger with tattoos and all this stuff, and he walks in, he's like, hey, dog, you know. Black guys are all over the place. You're going to go, what the hell is this cracker doing in our building? Why is this cracker here? Right? Because for them, that's a foreigner. We used to behave like that. That was a natural. It's a natural instinct that all peoples do. We see a black walking into a store 50 years ago in America, 80 years ago. You see a black walking into a restaurant. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look at the sign. No collards allowed. Because instinctively, you don't want other people being around you. It creates an atmosphere, okay? And I'll tell you, I actually, just as a very good example towards this, I went to a Christmas tree lighting ceremony this last weekend in a very rural town. And at this ceremony, it's a very small rural town, maybe two blocks each way. And the Christmas tree is in the middle. So we went there. Hundreds and hundreds of people gather in this town every year for this. And it's all white. 98-99% white. You don't see any blacks. You don't see any Indians. Nothing. It's 98% white. A lot of people are drinking, unfortunately. It's a big thing with holidays that people do. But a lot of people are drinking, so keep that in mind here. There's porta-potties at this place. You go in the porta-potties, they're spotless. They smell amazing. There's not piss all over the side of the seat. Someone didn't shit up the wall, right? Even though people are drinking everywhere, no trash on the ground. Anywhere that you look, every single person that you're walking by, as they get anywhere near you, they're saying, oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry. Don't mean to be in your way. Or if you say it to them, they go, oh, no, not a problem. Please, go ahead. That was the whole atmosphere of that night. And I sat and I was thinking to myself, looking around at this, I was thinking, what the hell? This is what Jews are trying to rob from you. And if you don't ever experience that, if you're a person who grew up in a city environment or, you know, a very multicultural area, and you haven't experienced what it's like to be in an area that is 99% white, you do not know what you're missing. You have no idea what you're missing out on. It is a completely, there is a spirit in the air around. And it is a sense of community. It's a sense of these people are like me. They think like me. They act like me. There's an intrinsic thing inside of there where you don't feel that you're on eggshells because, oh, that's a different person. I don't want to offend them. Oh, it's a different culture. I don't know how they operate. So this is a very important concept here, right? This is even when I was in this town, there's police officers just in case, even though there's probably never a crime there ever. There's police officers standing around, and we asked them at one point. We walked up to ask them, "Where's the bathroom? Or, you know, where are the porta potties at?" And I'm used to, I live in a very multicultural area where I'm at, and I'm used to whenever you go and say hello to a police officer or go to ask them for a question, you can see it. I'm sure everybody here has this experience. They're tense. They're tense. And they're, yeah, what do you need? Right? They're because they're so used to everybody around them of all these different cultures and all these primitive behavior types. They're so used to all of them wanting to do something or creating a problem or having a complaint or something like, so they're ready for that. Now, when I was there, when these cops are in this all white area where that doesn't happen, they're like giggling, they're laughing, they're like, oh yeah, you know, they're making jokes about, you know, breaking the law. Like there's not that tension and that feeling of an other around you. It's a very interesting thing when you really experience it. Especially going from one contrast to another. Zionist cuck, no, I'm not Christian. Yeah, ruthless capitalism and materialism is definitely an American cultural thing. Or the American culture, if we want to call it that again. Thanksgiving, that's a good one. Yes, that is an American culture. I do agree with that. There's not a lot of good ones like that, but they do exist. And I would say Thanksgiving is one of the few that I think at this point has not been materialized. It hasn't been Judaized, where we're just, you know, buying shit for people. Every other holiday has turned into that. You know, Christmas is very materialistic. Birthdays are extremely materialistic. Even Easter at this point, you got to get somebody an Easter basket. It's very materialistic. I don't like that. I agree, Zaruk. I definitely agree. Yes, this is why Jews do push diversity, and they push this multicultural apparatus because they know inevitably it will always cause anarchy. It has to ensue. It's natural. We got a $5 super chat from White Knight for the White Fight. He says, I'm not sure if you are familiar with Daniel Penny case. He was found not guilty. I am familiar with the case. Some blacks are chimping out. Imagine if we as whites lost our shit every time a black killed a white. It would be constant fires. Just goes to show the stark difference in our temperaments. Yeah, well, they've been inculcated with this victimhood complex. By the way, thank you very much for the super chat. I appreciate it. They've been inculcated with this victimhood complex where any time any affront comes against one of their own, again, this is a tribal thought process, one of their own is harmed, their natural reaction is to jump on board in defense of their own. Again, this is being beaten out of us psychologically to an extent that we ourselves are no longer holding that natural instinct to say, oh, someone of my people is being attacked, someone from my community is being attacked. We've lost it, right? We're taught that that's white supremacy, that's racist, it's colonial, right? These are all things to psychologically pressure us out of that inherent instinct that is normal to us. And that creates a lot of psychological disharmony in people. You can see it. These people that, accept all of these social trends and all of these new age ideas that are, you know, leftist, liberal, Antifa types, look at them physically. Physically look, you can see they are damaged people internally. They are very damaged people. Kinnan Camp, thank you. No, not a problem. Happy to be here. And I do apologize for the lack of shows last week, folks. We will we'll definitely be on all the shows this week for sure. Back in action. I just need to kind of really actually take the genuine time away. The last time I was like, oh, I'm going to take a break, and then I end up overcrowding myself anyway and not actually taking a break. So I took some good time off, spent some time with family, kind of got the home front cleared up a bit. So popping right back into the seat. Yeah, Zionist cuck, he's not. You're creating conflict in the wrong place. I'm kind of not the guy that is subversive or whatever you are insinuating. Yeah, no stopping it. Thank you. I appreciate it. No, I'm all right. I had to actually take the time away from the technology, you know. Rue Nigger, welcome. Nice to see you. First chat, we're over in the FTJ. Nice to see you over there. Cracker Bolts, hello. Z Kyle. Tradition has been replaced by trends. That's a very good line. Yeah, I agree with that. So rather than looking back at your history and your past and learning from your ancestors and taking on their traditions, we're instead replacing that with, oh, what's popular today? You know, dressing like a complete whore? Let's do it, you know? That's what everybody else thinks is great. Do I think we should have only whites in America? Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not a 90% guy. I'm 100% guy. I don't want to see 10% of white people in the Congo. I don't want to see 10% Asian people in India. It doesn't make sense. Like I think that's a really gay like cope that people do, where they're like, oh, it should be 90%. No, like. Yeah, okay, maybe it's more realistic to think 90%, but you should always be striving for, you know, a complete unification of your people. There shouldn't be any, like, oh, you know, we'll give off the 5%, or we'll give off the 10. I don't like that. And again, this doesn't have to be, like, a conflictual thing. A lot of people take this as a very conflictual thing where, again, when white people say it, there's an instant assumption that means we just want to kill everybody and you know, kick them all out rudely and fucking leave them to starve. It's like, look, like we're not the babysitter here, okay? No one gets mad when blacks in their physical fucking neighborhoods in America say, we don't want no white cops out here. We don't want no racist-ass white cops out here. No one's like, oh, that's so messed up. Those black people should be in prison. That's insane. No one acts like that, except for when white people do it. There's a double standard that's placed. Yeah, and we need our own. Yeah, Zionist, he has dropped that sponsor since. What do I think about Thomas Sewell? I've given a lot of very positive thoughts on him. Good dude. Yeah, Rue, I mean, if that's the goal, is to actually push them away from Uyghur behavior, that's great. I don't know how beneficial it is or how much it works, but that is good. Because that needs to stop. It's a big problem. It's kind of where I lay a bit of a problem with this whole manosphere idea. A lot of this manosphere shit it's preaching like negative male values rather than positive male values. It's like reinstituting materialism into our people again. I got to have the nicest car, and I have to have the best job and a big house so that women will love me. I understand it, right? Like, obviously, women do need to be provided for. They need to be spiritually guided. They need to be safe and comfortable. But that doesn't mean that you have to be like, five Lambos in the yard kind of a thing. That's the value that women are looking at because they have been misguided. And it's our fault that they're being misguided because we're not producing our own media. We're not protecting our own people psychologically from this Jewish fucking plague. It's a awful revolving circle. Doug, welcome over on FTJ. Nice to see you. The half-breed question is it's a very interesting question, and I think there's a lot to be said there. So, for example, let's say you have somebody who is, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, what if somebody is 20% Asian? Are they allowed in the ethnostate? Well, let's say you're 80% German, 20% Asian. Obviously, this is an unfortunate process that has already been started that you cannot just reverse. So this wouldn't be law, but this would be a general guideline in society that if you are 80 and 20, you should be trying to find a partner who is of the 80%. You should find somebody who is 100% German if you are 80% German and 20% something else, right? And then you're slowly over generations, you will breed out that 20%, but that's going to take a while, right? This is a process that we have to be very conscious of. It's not something that just like flips overnight. And I would encourage, to be entirely honest, I would encourage in the United States of America, cultural centers, really, where one state is of this people, one state is of this people, one state is of this people. And what I would really encourage, and a lot of people will disagree with this on face, but I would encourage one state that is multicultural, where everybody can just move there, have their little mixed mutt babies. And I can almost guarantee you within 30 to 40 years' time, that state will completely and wholeheartedly collapse. It will be in constant conflict, constant anarchy. The state will never succeed. It physically won't succeed. And all of those people that think multiculturalism is great, when they look around at the other states and see how nice it's going, they're going to want to get themselves out of there. It can't last. It's impossible for something like that to last. There's no solid foundation. Crackerbolts with a $5 super chat. He says, I would literally help fund the ships, half of my check every week, easy. Until then, I'll throw you a five. Thank you, brother. I greatly appreciate that. Very kind. I agree with you. Honestly, I would put all of our tax money into pushing them back into Africa. If they volunteer to go and they want their reparations, I say that's how you get it. You want reparations? It comes in the form of a boat ticket. And we'll send you off with some supplies. As long as you just leave me to hell alone. I agree with that entirely. We're already paying half. How much of your tax money is going to them already? Through welfare, EBT cards, all these different things. Most of your money is getting seeded into them through taxes anyway. I'd rather put some contingencies on that. Yeah, California is probably really close. Delta, welcome. Nice to see you. And thank you. I do appreciate all the people that were concerned about me being gone for a couple days. Well, a week, whatever. I really appreciate that, folks. Nothing serious, just busy work. I had quite a few people at some point, you know, warn me about burnout and like overdoing it with crowding myself with projects and stuff. And I kind of ignored it. I'm learning the consequences of that now. You said entropy isn't running, you don't think? Oh, you know what? It's not. Let me fix that. Sorry. Okay, entropy should be up and running now. My apologies. I forgot to hit the go live button. No, absolutely not. It won't be enough. Give handouts are never enough for anybody, right? If you give handouts to children, if you give handouts to women, if you give handouts to anybody, they're always going to be reliant upon handouts. This is why one of the worst things you can do for like a homeless person is just go and give them cash, because you're not teaching them a work ethic. You're not teaching them to behave better or do something positive. You're giving them charity and hoping, maybe that'll help them. Well, are you actually helping them? No, you're actually further crippling them, because you're not disciplining them. They need discipline. They need some kind of a structure for better behavior. That's why very against charity work. Charity work is very dangerous in society. There's very few circumstances where I think charity work is reasonable. Yeah, Delta. I don't know if you're just coming in, but we were just talking about that. Is the stark difference between being in a completely multicultural cesspool and then moving to or even just visiting a white area is like there is, and again, this might sound crazy. Okay, I really truly believe this. I think there's a different air quality. I go into like one of those multicultural Walmarts. And you smell the fucking air, and it's like there's like a thick musk in the air. The air literally feels thick. Divinus, I mean, if it's a 50-50 situation, I think it would come down to them, again, having to pick one side or the other, right? They would have to essentially decide which side they would like to go towards, where they would like to identify with, and they would have to start breeding into that area. Again, it takes a long time. It's not something that'll happen overnight. It's going to take a couple of generations. And that's why people need to be educated and conscious of this process. Cracker Boats, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, giving is enabling most of the time. Now, you know, Kinnan, for example, says, I gave to a disabled vet. I do agree with, you know, somebody that's disabled through warfare. I agree with giving to them. They're not like a dysgenic, you know, negative member on society. They are down on their luck. But, you know, when you look at the average person who's on the street homeless, it's drugs, bad life choices, intentionally choosing the wrong path, being lazy. You know, and they put themselves into this area, and then they want the handouts. You know, they want give me some cash, or you know, I saw one of the most degenerate videos I think I've ever seen.
I tried expressing this on your show, but fell short in the moment.
Who was giving homeless
people
alcohol?
We have no idea what's been
as a Christmas
taken from us because we never experienced what we had as a people.
And they just gave
culture has become poison and. It's become essential to go back to
and
our base fundamentals.
Those homeless people were more excited than any homeless person I've ever seen
cause.
Getting cash or food. Yeah, they're going to be everywhere soon. I think so, Divinus. It's a very complex piece. They're obviously not going to be, you know, perfect hygienic specimen or something of the sort, but you have to at least make effort in one direction or the other, you know, rather than 50%ing it all the way through indefinitely. So the idea would just be to actually try to make a conscious move in one direction. It's not ideal, but what else are you going to do, you know? Aquarius with a $15 super chat on entropy. Thank you, my friend. A high super chat of the day. He says, I tried expressing this on your show, but fell short in the moment. We have no idea what's been taken from us because we never experience what we had as a people. Culture has become poison, and it's become essential to go back to our base fundamentals. I hope to contribute to that cause. Thank you very much, brother. Greatly appreciate that. We all should be contributing to that cause in whatever way that we can. Our intellectual powers, our physical powers, our financial powers, anything that we have, our social powers, whatever we have at our disposal, we should all be contributing to that cause. And I think we are. I think it's starting to accumulate. I am seeing a lot of growth in our area. And now it's about actually organizing. You know, that's really the hardest part at this point, is we just don't have organization. And you're right. You know, we don't experience this, and because we lack the experience of it, it puts us in a spot where we just don't know what we're missing. You know, it's like, you know, that good old fashioned phrase is like, you don't know what you have until you lose it. It's kind of also, you don't know what you have if you've never had it, right? You don't know what it is if you've never had it. And that's where we're at is, you know, when you look back at these pictures from America in the 50s and the 60s, and you look at what a plane looked like, how people sat on a plane and everybody is dressed at least business casual, at the bare minimum, right? They're wearing, you know, all the women have dresses on, all of the men are dressed at least how I am, if not better. And they are just, they're happy, they're carefree, there's not like a tension that's, you know, visibly present where they want to like isolate themselves. Like compare that to a fucking subway in New York, in multicultural New York. It's a complete shithole. Like everybody's looking at their phone. Like they're even huddled with their shoulders, you know, hoping no one, please. I hope no one talks to me. I hope no one bothers me. You know, like they just want to literally, I got to get in here, get out. You know, it's like a death train. Keep asking for truth with a $3 super chat. Thank you. Says, Logos, I just joined, but that's a very interesting thought. It is actually scientifically proven that everyone emits messenger molecules that influence hormones, emotions, etc. That's why lovers say the chemistry was right. It might be that one Pajit can destroy the biome of a whole supermarket. Thank you, brother. I appreciate the super chat. And I know it sounds a little bit egregious, but I really do feel when I go into a very multicultural like store or a restaurant or something like that, I feel a thickness in the air, and I actually won't go back there. You know, I have in my area, I have 5 or 6 different grocery stores within a 15-mile radius, and I will go to the far one because the far one is in a much wider area. They're nicer there. The lighting is better. I'm telling you, the air quality is better. It's just, it's a different experience. Keep asking for truth. I agree with that. It says, we don't need to decentralize anymore, maybe rearrange the decentralization, but we need to re-centralize our collective interest in a culturally beneficial way. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think we've pretty decently decentralized. There still is more that can be done. And that decentralization that I'm referring to is actually more of it's more of a psychological decentralizing, right? And when I say that, I mean a lot of people are psychologically centralized in the system, even if they claim like I'm a revolutionary, I'm against the Jewish power structure, I'm against all this stuff, but they still participate in the degenerate day-to-day behaviors and activities that are a part of the system. You know, they're still retweeting libs of TikTok, right? It shows that they might have the sentiments in the right direction, but they're not actually out of the system yet. Psychologically, they're still into the system, right? So when you hear this term, based, I'm based, what does that mean? Like, you have your own, you're based in your own foundation, right? You don't need the system to provide it for you. And most people aren't there yet. A lot of people will claim to be based, but they're still retweeting libs of TikTok and saying, you know, Trump's going to save us. Did you see that picture where he's got his fist up? Dude, he's awesome. So we need psychological decentralization where people are no longer still falling susceptible to some of these trends or manipulative traps that are psychologically set for our people. There's a lot of, I mean, there's millions of them. If you're not careful, you will fall for these things. And a lot of them are present on Twitter. You know, like the Libs of TikTok account is a perfect example of that. There's many others. But they tweet, you know, things that grab some of your good sentiments, like, oh, you know, these Muslims in Europe, it's terrible, right? Radio Genoa, that's an account on Twitter that does a lot of this. Completely subversive account. And I saw a Libs of TikTok account, which is owned by this Jew. She made a post about the Muslims in Europe and says, oh, you know, look at the state of Europe today. You know, what do you think? And this is a clickbait to get them to get white people to mass look at it and go, yeah, you know, like, oh, fuck that. You know, fuck these stupid Muslims. But what people fail to realize is it's a diversion. This is a Jew showing you what her people have done to your civilization and using it as like a rage bait for you to fucking vent your stresses about it to her, right? And people fall for it. They literally fall for this. So it's very important that we start recognizing that and actually expressing to people when they're following accounts like that, when they're retweeting accounts like that, stop. You gotta learn away from these things. Cope and Seed, brother, if you don't like the show, you don't have to be here, man. You're more than welcome to go. Delta with a $10 super chat. Thank you, my friend. He says, here's a little something to support the show. I look forward to getting the notification that you are live. You're a good man. Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. I appreciate the support, and I'm just happy that you enjoy the shows and hopefully find them helpful. Sorry about that. Yeah, so, you know, it's in a way, when you actually look at that tweet, I actually quote tweeted it, because when you look at that tweet, not only is this Jew, you know, rage baiting you and getting white people to just, you know, vent all of their angers about the Muslims back to a Jew. Additionally, there is an aspect to, she's bragging. She's, oh, look at the state of Europe. You know, and she's showing Muslims invading the country. She's bragging. It might not seem like it, but that they're bragging. It's what they've done. Well, folks, we're coming up at the 1 hour mark. I think we're going to take a brief little halftime break here. I'm going to grab myself some more tea. I'm running a little bit low here. So thank you guys for tuning in. Stay tuned. We're just going to take a brief little break. I'm going to fill up my tea. I'm probably going to use the restroom really quickly. So I'll be back in about 2 minutes. Just stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we are back. Thank you for your patience. Let me see. Anko, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it. Sorry, I missed your other chat about me not speaking Japanese. Yeah, I'll probably never learn Japanese, like, ever. I'm trying to learn German. I'm slowly getting there. It's not easy. I'm not. It's one thing that's really hard for me. I can learn history and you know, very like fact based. It's really hard for me to learn a language, just to kind of normalize it. Okay, folks. So we are coming into the second hour of the show. Appreciate y'all for tuning in so far. I do want to promote my other channels, folks. If you guys aren't following me on all of my different channels, I'm expanding as much as I can here. We're trying to go to a lot of different spots. So we are on Odyssey, that's been home base basically since I started. I've got all of my videos. Every single thing that's ever been done on my channel is uploaded and archived on my Odyssey account. So if you want to see my old stuff, my new stuff, I have my whole Logos Academy lecture series on there, which it used to just be Logos Academy, but this show has taken that name. So it's now... Logos Academy lectures. If you guys want to watch any of my old rebroadcasts, Odyssey is the place to do it. You guys can now follow on Rumble. I'm doing my live shows on my own personal Rumble channel at Logos Revealed I. I had to put the I on the end of it because the regular Logos Revealed was taken. I'm on Twitter. I'm doing a lot of stuff on Twitter. We've got threads on Twitter. We've got clips that are going up on Twitter, very unique things going up on Twitter. It's by far my largest platform at the moment, where the message is being spread the largest. So if you want to help to contribute to that, shoot me a follow over on Twitter, retweet some of my stuff, post it around, quote tweet some of it, share it to people. It's the best way we can kind of get ourselves out there and shoot that message into a bigger audience. Twitter actually has that kind of mainstream apparatus where you can reach people that might not even have ever heard of these things before, which is less and less people every day, which is good for us. That's a very positive thing. I'm also on FTJ. Again, I always recommend, if you guys do want to support the show, FTJ is a great place to do it. It's got the lowest transaction fees. So just as a reference, if you go to Entropy is 15% transaction fees for any kind of super chat that you do. Rumble is 20%. Odyssey is 8.5%. FTJ is 3%. It's the absolute lowest out of anywhere. We're paying less money to a middleman to be supporting each other, and the middleman is somebody that's a part of our movement, so it's a win-win. It's ftjmedia.com. They're growing. I also encourage you guys to follow them on Twitter. They've been doing quite a lot of stuff on their Twitter page. Let me actually pull that up really quick, show you guys, because they've been posting quite a bit of stuff. They're trying to start putting clips up there and grow the channel a bit. Let me pull this up. That's not the one. I'm terrible with this. Here it is. I don't know if that's big enough for you guys, if you guys can see that. This is the FTJ Media Twitter. It's at FTJ Media Based on Twitter. If you guys want to shoot them a follow over there, help share their clips around. Good way to help grow the platform a little bit. Least I can do. They've been very nice to me. They've been nothing but kind. So, really, Frubble, that's very odd. I mean, you could always try to make another Twitter account. I know there's a lot of people that have, like, oh my god, like 8 to 12 different Twitter accounts at this point. It's insane. It's crazy. Joker, welcome. Nice to see you. Yeah, so those are all my platforms you guys can follow me on. I just started up a TikTok account. I haven't posted anything on it yet. I tried to post a clip, and they gave me some weird warning about the material or something like that, so I didn't post it. So I'm not posting on TikTok yet, but I'm on there. I have an account. I think it's Logos Revealed I. So you guys can follow over on there. Apparently that's a really good way to reach new people as well. I don't know. I don't really like TikTok. I don't like the format. It's just fucking brain rot. When you go on there and look at half the shit on there, it's just brain rot. So I try to avoid it as best I can. But I am going to start trying to just post small clips over there. Hicks with a $25 super chat, biggest super chat of the day. Thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate it. Says, thank you, Zach. I appreciate your work more than you know. Do you know what Santa is about? Gotta be a Jew trick. Just wondering if you had any insight on the Jews creating Santa. Keep up the great work. Thank you, brother. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much. I don't know about Santa directly. I will say that a lot of these different Christmas songs and Christmas kind of ideas that are put out there have very, very big Jewish influence on them. One that actually apparently not a lot of people know about, we talked about on the show not long ago, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, this was literally made by a Jew, and it is a Jewish subversion. It's them pushing themselves into the apparatus of the European psyche. The story has it that Rudolph is persecuted on the count of his different nose, and that because he has a different nose, he all of a sudden becomes Santa's chosen reindeer out of nowhere, and he's the one that guides the rest of the reindeer, and they need to look to him for moving forward. It's just ridiculous. That's one of many, and he admits it personally in interviews, that Jew that made that song. He admits that it is a Jewish subversion, in fact, which is lovely. I love when they brag about it. Yeah, thank you again for the super chat. I greatly appreciate it. And don't forget, folks, if you guys do want to support the show, it's always greatly appreciated, whether it's $1, $6 million, whatever you have to throw around, it's always appreciated. It helps keep these up and running. A lot of what's put into the shows goes right back into books, you know, other things for the setup itself, constantly reinvesting into the show and keeping this rolling. So if you guys want to do that, you are more than welcome to. It's not obligatory, of course. But if you want to support me and help keep this show going, all the options to do so are, well, it's just all Super Chats. So you can do it on Entropy. You can do it on Rumble, on Odyssey, on FTJ. Again, FTJ does have the lowest transaction fees for that. And then we have, like, crypto wallets. Not a lot of people seem to do anything with the crypto wallets, so I don't really promote it all that much. But it is on my bio site in my channel if you guys do want to support with crypto. Not a lot of people do it. And I save most of that crypto. Especially now that the market's going to be going up a lot. So, what's his name that sings it? I don't know who sings it. I don't think there is any specific person that sings Rudolph. The writer, it's based on a book. The song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, it's based on a book that was written by a Jew. Yeah, they definitely should have kept Rudolph out of the reindeer games. I agree. They should have never let him play. Because, look, they let him play, and then all of a sudden he's the best fucking reindeer. Everybody has to worship him. I'm going for the Lucifer look. Nice. Well, thank you, Frabble. Nonetheless, I appreciate it. I joined Kraftwerk. What is Kraftwerk? I don't know what that is. No, Fox, never apologize for not supporting the show. Again, it's not obligatory. You don't have to apologize for that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know much about you know, Santa Claus or the origins of Santa Claus. I don't see anything directly subversive in that I think would be bad. Typically, I have a pretty good eye for those things, but it's hard to say, right? And you never know when they've stuck their nose into something. I know that Rudolph is, which kind of, you know, again, plays right into that piece of why it's important to know your culture and your background and traditions. You know, for instance, when you look at these, what are they called? Drawing a blank. The hell are they called? it's slipping my mind. I don't know what's going on with me today. I don't know if I didn't get enough sleep. It's like the second time something has just completely slipped me. Delta, thank you. Yeah, that is a friendly reminder. If you guys do want to support via Rumble, do so on Logos Revealed Eye if you want to directly support me. You guys are always welcome to support the Stu Peters Network as well. Just know anything that you do super chat wise, or I think there's the subscription service that's towards Stu and his network, which is a separate entity from myself. I'm not paid by Stu or anything, so it's a. If you do want to support directly to me, the way to do it would be all of my channels, whatever. There's plenty of places. Thank you, Delta. I appreciate that reminder. Yeah, I think Twitter's the best right now. I think that's the best place to put our ideas out there. We can actually reach a lot more people there. I wish I could grow a nice beard. I really do. It's a shame. I got fucking awful genetics when it comes to beards. I get like crazy patchwork in here. It's like baby smooth here. It's terrible. Chain Reaction with a $3.30 super chat. Putting the threes in there today. He says, here's $5 million kangaroo dollars just to say, oh man, sie ist ein Model und sie sieht gut aus. Yeah, I'm clearly not learning fast enough. Something is a model and something is good. Something. Yeah, I'm not, it's not, I got some of it. I'm not grasping the whole thing there though. Yeah, like I said, learning language is tough for me. It's very tough. Got mit uns, I know that one. I got that. Got that down pat. Yeah, adult white female, I think that's, I think the Israel first idea is a little egregious. I don't know. I can't tell you. I haven't looked into these accusations that are leveled against the platform. I don't have a reason to be entirely honest with you, right? Because all of the people that are leveling the accusations against the platform leveled like 1,001 false accusations against me, so I don't really trust or put any merit into anything that they say. It's a shame when you spread around like bullshit like that. You know, it's so hard for anything that you say to have value. Austin says, you don't need to dress in a suit, buddy. You could be comfortably dressed to give the same information. Well, here's the thing. That's a really important piece is, you know, imagine if I came on my show tomorrow and I have a big hoodie on and I got sweatpants on and I got like a wife beater on underneath that you can kind of see under the side of the hoodie. And I got some big chains on, and I got, like, a face tattoo. And I'm like, man, guys, these Jews are fucking terrible. These Jews suck. Let me tell you about it. You're less inclined to put any fucking merit in what I'm saying, right? Because it shows that I don't have discipline. I don't have, you know, an interest of a good image for myself. So why would I have an interest in a good image for others or other things? It's very important. I think it's more important than people notice that dressing to a standard, holding a standard for people is very important. I'll give you a really good example. I'll give you the most fantastic example of this. I met someone personally from our movement. I met him about a month ago. We sat down, we had a nice lunch. Really cool guy, actually. When I first met him, he shows up, he had a football hoodie on and sweatpants. whatever. I mean, it's his thing. I don't agree with it. I'm wearing a suit. I wear a suit of, like, most of the places I go. I'm wearing a suit. And he looks at me, and he was like, hey, man, he's like, you know, I got to say, I really like that you dress that nice. He's like, I like that, you know? And I just said, yeah, I mean, it's what I do. It's not like, I'm not doing it. It's just kind of natural to me. I've always liked to dress nice. So he goes, we meet again. This was like a week and a half ago. We met again. He shows up, and this time he's dressed better than me. He's got a whole suit on all the way through. The guy had a fucking SS belt buckle on. He was wearing an NSDAP pin. And he said, you know, I really liked that you kind of dress nice. He's like, I think that's a good standard to set. So just that one time that I dressed nice was able to influence someone else to also dress nice. This is how we fix society. Literally. By example. No, you weren't insulting me. I'm just clarifying the importance of dressing nicely. Because there's nothing that pisses me off more than when I go to a grocery store and I see a very beautiful woman dressed in sweatpants and like a lazy shirt with her tits hanging out, and she's got her hair up in a bun with no makeup on. She's like sliding around the floor in fucking slides with socks on. It's disgusting. I mean, it's all a female. If you want to discuss something, we can discuss something. I don't know if you want to have like a private chat and discuss something, but I don't know. I don't know these accusations, okay? I don't fucking play drama games and stuff. I don't know how real any of it is, and I can't watch the retards shows that cover those things. So if you want to talk to me about it, if you think there's pressing information, you're acting like I'm gatekeeping or something here. I'm not gatekeeping anything, so if you want to talk about it, I'm more than willing to have a conversation with you. Maybe there's something you know that I don't. I'm open to that. Yeah, a visual impression is the first impression, and it makes a massive difference. It makes a huge difference. It's absolutely foundational. How you portray yourself is so important. And I hate to say it, but like Jews are good at this. They've used that method, and it's worked. I mean, this is how Jews got into all of Hollywood and all these things. They dressed nice. They acted like they were some, you know, high-class people. They always dress in a suit. And now people kind of got confused and like, oh, these Jews are like, they're like us. They're cultured people. And they're not realizing, no, like, this is like a cannibalistic, bloodthirsty tribe that's just dressing in a suit to fucking trick you. Keep asking for truth with a $2 super chat. Sorry, I missed that. He says, Santa Claus is just Coca-Cola promoting consumerism and materialist Xmas values instead of any real values. Kids, hop on that strange old man's lap. Sure, this is totally unrelated to Epstein and his friends. Chain said she is a model and she is looking great. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you for the translation. And I completely agree. There are definitely some materialistic problems around Christmas. I don't know if Santa Claus itself is a materialistic problem, but the ideas around it have really been – they fomented that materialistic apparatus to it. No, I vehemently disagree. I think I do agree that women should definitely be carrying and they should be ready for self-defense. But I do not think they should dress down under any circumstances. We can't allow the culture to degrade us just because everything around us is collapsing and it's shit. We have to be very careful not to allow that culture to further degenerate, intentionally so. My wife, everywhere she goes, she wears a dress. She doesn't go anywhere without a dress on. And she wasn't like that when we got together. When we got together, she was wearing fucking jeans and camo hoodies. Now she wears a dress everywhere she goes. And I'll tell you what, crazy as it sounds, she is incredibly happy for doing so. She talks about it all the time. And I don't have a problem with people that want to wear a hoodie and name the Jew. I mean, if that's your thing, go for it. But just understand that it's less influential. Maybe it's influential to like the degenerates, and you might be able to pull some of those people in with those concepts. I was on a guy's show 2 months ago, Gene Novati. He's you know, he smokes weed on his show. He's got the hoodie on. He's got the chains and stuff. It's not my thing, okay? But I don't have to directly like everything the guy does in order to get along with the fact that he's doing everything he can to expose the Jews. I have a lot of respect for that. So I went on his show, and, you know, like, it's not exactly the culture that I like or agree with, but he was very clear. You know, he wants to appeal to some of these guys that have fallen into this Wigger rap and all this shit, because he grew up in an area where that was a big thing. So, you know, power to him. I do appreciate that that approach. Again, it's not for me, but I do appreciate it. I don't know what else you want me to do, George. I mean, I bought a fucking, like, $200 webcam. Not exactly sure how much better I can do with the webcam and the lighting and stuff, man. These lights were expensive. I don't know what else. It is what it is, dude. It is what it is. I'm not a tech guy, and I'm certainly not like a high fucking production thing here. If you want to get some guy in here to fucking help me out, I'll accept it. But I'm not good with that at all. I'm at a loss. No matter how much I upgrade, people still have complaints about how my shit looks. So it just is what it is, I guess. All right, Cope and C. Look, brother. If we're not here for good reason, like let's just go, okay? You're like wasting your time. Maybe next time with a $3 super chat says money for razors. Yeah, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've been looks good. Looks good. I think I look a little bit better without the facial hair. I can't grow good facial hair. Yeah, I'm against the weed smoking. I think that's a really big problem. Lighting placement is the issue? I guess. I mean, I don't know where else to place it. It's like a physical strip, so you can see I have it like connected to my desk. I was told to put it in front of me. I mean, if it was like this, I mean that looks worse. I don't know. I'm too retarded. I just like physically someone either just has to come in here and do it for me, or it's just always gonna look like shit. So. Great to hear. Keep asking for truth. He says, thank you, Logos. I'm wearing a hoodie right now. If I came on a show with you, I would certainly wear a suit. So another one where you were right. Yeah, I mean, look, it's if you actually look at my past shows on my channel, my interviews, I have 60 to 70 interviews. There's a tone that's set where people realize it's a more serious atmosphere. And people who typically act degenerate on their own shows or do, you know, goofy, stupid things on their shows, they come on my show and all of a sudden they're in a suit and they're, you know, talking very articulately and being very nice and pleasant. It's standards. It's standards. It's like, you know, you don't go to like a country club and everybody in there is dressed to a standard and holds this kind of standard and you don't have it. You look like a fucking idiot, right? So you want to meet that standard in order to fit in. It's a very natural – we're social creatures. It's a very natural thing that people do. It's why a lot of white guys are acting like Wiggers, because they grow up in an area with a lot of black people. It's a big thing over, you know, in their area, this whole degenerate rap culture, which, again, it's hard to even call it black culture because it's just primitive degeneracy. It's not culture. Like shooting up people and wanting to like tote guns, it's primitive. It's like – I don't think gorillas are cultured beings, right? So when they go around doing dumb shit, I don't look at the gorilla and say, oh, this gorilla's culture is really interesting. It's not culture. So I don't even know. That behavior type, okay? And white people emulate that because they're trying to fit in. They're just trying to fit. Like, if you go to a school that's 90% black and 10% white, you'll notice most of those white people, they talk with Ebonics and they wear chains and shit and they try to fit in. They try to be – they're all sneakerheads and shit. It's a shame. It's terrible. But it's a sign of something more important here, is that people are social creatures. And when they see these different behavior types and these different trends around them, they naturally want to fit in with it. They want to be a part of the rest of people. So we have to make a step forward to set that standard for our people, so that when our people are going, you know, from place to place, they talk better, they act better, they're more well-read, they dress nicer. We have to set standards for our people, as best we can. You know, you're not going to be able to get everybody, but... Yeah, no stopping it. You're right. That's exactly what we're trying to do, right? It's to bring more people in. It's not like most of the people that I'm already acquainted with that are awake to the Jewish problem, they're impressed enough with the discussions about the Jewish problem. But most people in the world, like, they get their news or their information from somebody in a suit. That's what they're used to. When they watch Fox News or CNN or their local news channel with the weather guy's got a suit on. So people naturally attribute authority to somebody in a suit, whether they have authority or not. They just attribute such. Yeah, I don't know. The only reason I even have this light on instead of the light behind me is because I got up, I put the desk up today, and because the light is directly in line with my head, it just completely flashes the camera and you can't see anything. So there's supposed to be a program that I can like use on here to change my settings, but I don't know how to find it. Again, I'm too retarded with technology. Well, I appreciate it, George. I don't know how to not show all of that wall behind me, though, because it's a very wide camera. And if I put it the other way, there's just more walls. So it's like I don't know what to do about that. And, you know, you say don't put the lighting under me, but if I was to sit right now, now the lighting's not under me, it's in front of me. Well, now I just look like a fucking ghost. So, like, you can't win, you know? Like, and this thing that I have, the lighting, it doesn't have a brightness on it. It just has a color changing, and it has, a type change. Like, this looks terrible. This looks worse than me standing. So that's why I have it under me. Might look a little odd, but I think it's less bad than if I was to be level with it. This looks terrible. George, yeah, I mean, I'll if you want to come, you can. I'm not going to dox myself, you know, like outright, but I don't really care if people know where I'm at. Yeah, I agree with that, Fox. A lot of the weed that's being grown now is they put these terpenes. I think that's what they're called. Am I saying that right? Terpenes? Terpines? Something like that. They put those in weed now. It's just chemicals to like enhance the weed. You feel better too. I would say you do. You feel better when you dress up and you dress like really nice. You do feel better. because there's an effort that goes to it, you know? Like, if you take the time to actually put a suit on every day, it's, like, it's so much easier. I would love to just, like, throw on sweatpants and a hoodie every day and just do whatever. But, you know, it's that – the easy route is never the good route, like, ever. Terpenes are flavor compound. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Oh, chain reaction. I would never request that of somebody. That would be so egregious of me. Well, I think it helped, actually. Actually, chain reaction, that debate you're referencing, I think that actually helped my case, like, tremendously. It just polarized it even further. Which way, Western man? It's kind of that question. Do I know about Savitri Devi? Yeah, she's... I really enjoyed the book, The Lightning and the Sun. It's a great book. I need paper or plastic over it to soften the light. And that's actually a good idea. See, that's a productive idea. I don't know how that would look, but... Yeah, I guess that would make sense. I'll try to find something that I can put over top of it. Probably not paper. This thing gets hot. This light bar, it gets extremely hot. I wouldn't want to, like, burn the paper with it. Well, yeah, if you're a construction worker, obviously, I don't expect you to wear suits, but, you know, when you look at, lumberjacks, like, back in the 50s and shit, lumberjacks were wearing slacks and suspenders. Construction workers were wearing that, too. You know that. Until Jews corporatized construction... everybody's seen that famous video of the New York Italians that are sitting up on that that big beam up in the sky when they were creating some high skyscrapers, and they're sitting on the beam eating their lunches. They're in dress shoes and slacks with suspenders on. You know, like I mean, people used to dress that way for everything until, again, you know, Jews corporatized it, and they're like, You gotta wear a construction hat, and you gotta wear these gloves, and you have to wear this life vest for safety, so people can see you at night. Like, there's always adding all these fucking corporatized rules into things. Yeah, softer light, I guess, would work. We'll do that. What's weird is the quality of the lighting actually looks better on Rumble Studio than it does on anything else, which doesn't make sense because I'm streaming my Rumble Studio screen from my OBS. It's my OBS virtual camera. So it's just a mirror of what I'm doing on OBS, but it looks better on Rumble Studio than OBS. I don't know. I don't know if they're, like, adding their own filter to it or something. I fucking hate technology. I hate it. We should just ban it all. Okay, lighting high up near the ceiling. All right. Okay. All right, I don't know how the hell I'm going to get a bar up. You know, I've got air above me. I guess I could put the bar floating in the air. I don't know. I just, like, it doesn't even... I'm not intuitive like that. I'll have to figure it out, I guess. Yeah, cigarettes are bad for you. Stay away from cigarettes, for sure. You tried to write me a telegram about Devi, but I've been absent for a while. Yeah, I guess I'll address. If you guys have sent me an email or a telegram in the last probably 2 weeks, like, there's almost a 0% chance that I've replied to it. So I do apologize. It's not personal. I've got so many messages to catch up on. It's hard to, like, pull the motivation to get back to all of them because there's just so many at this point. But I will slowly get back to them in time. Bear with me, folks. Bear with me. No, there's no delay. There's no delay on the stream, but I'm on so many platforms, I'm trying to keep up with all these chats. I'm pretty far behind. I'm slowly catching up. Yeah, I could look for YouTube guides. I could, except for, like, most of them are going to be Indians. That's the worst part. I hate when I'm trying to find... Nothing makes me more angry than when I'm trying... I'm angry enough about technology not working because I can't figure it out. So then I go, okay, fuck it. I'll just look it up. Look up a video and someone will explain it to me. And then I go on YouTube and it's some fucking Pajit. Hello, sir. Welcome to the video. Here's how to operate Photoshop 2022. It's like, it's so fucking annoying. It just makes me more angry because now I can't understand the guy. It's impossible to follow him. The English is so broken. That's probably the worst part. Well, folks, we got about 20 minutes left on the show here. Welly Wellington, first time here. Welcome. It's nice to have you. Thanks for coming in live. I do appreciate that. That is a good idea. White guys definitely do a lot with cars. If you want to learn something about cars, there's not a lot of like Indian videos on how to fix your car. Yeah, well, thank you, Delta. I appreciate. Yeah, you could always just turn the screen off and just listen to the show. And type. I am. It's a category I'm not good at. Technology, science, and law. Those are three things I just cannot wrap my mind around. I have like no intellectual interest in them at all. Yeah, see, now I can't even sit. It's too bright. I'm stuck standing for the last 20 minutes. I can't get comfortable. Okay, as we were saying, we got about 20 minutes left on the show. I do want to remind you guys, we got a lot more shows coming up this week. We're going to be live on Wednesday with our typical 4 to 6 on the Stu Peters Network and everywhere else. We're going to be live on Friday, same deal. Additionally, I am... On the 20th, which is not this weekend, but next weekend on Friday, I'm going to be doing a three-way show with Joel Davis and Jack Brady. I'm sure most of you in the chat are familiar with Joel Davis. And if you're not familiar with Jack Brady, I had him on my show not long ago. We discussed the Weimar Republic and America and kind of the reaction that happened with these things. So we're going to be discussing... The Myth of the 20th Century, the book. We're actually going to go over and review the entire book. I'm really looking forward to that show. I think it's going to be a very thought-stimulating show. The three of us talking, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of really stimulating concepts being thrown around in that conversation. So make sure you guys catch that. We don't have a time yet. It's going to be the evening of the 20th. Which is the afternoon for them because they're both in Australia. So once we get a time set, I'll give you guys the time. But I think that's going to be a very good show. So make sure you guys mark that in your calendar. That will be after my show, my 4 p.m. regular show. I guess, sweet. I think that sounds goofy when it's only three people. No one thinks that way when you say a three-way intersection. Yeah, I think Jack Brady's very interesting. He's impressive, and yet again, I think one of the biggest pieces that adds to that is how he portrays himself. You know, he always does his hair up, he dresses really nice. It just holds a standard. Look good, feel good. There's a lot to that, you know. I'm thinking we'll probably do a call-in show this week. I'm not sure what day I'm going to do it yet. Could be Tuesday, could be Thursday, maybe even Saturday. But I will try to do a call-in show this week because I wanted to do one last week and then it never happened. I got so caught up with shit. Yeah, they're breeding some interesting National Socialists down in Australia. We don't have guys with character like that in America. It sucks. Not many. I mean, they're here, but comparative to landmass and how many people we have, you'd think there'd be more. Oh, Aquarius with another $3 super chat. I don't know why I didn't see that one on my screen that time. He said, Tech friend says that he will answer every question you have free of charge and help with all your issues. I have a link to send you on Telegram. He's getting my site set up for sales, etc. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you for the super chat and the offer there. You can send him, I don't know if he has Telegram, you can send him my Telegram. If it's the same person you're talking about before with the email, he has not emailed me. I don't know if you gave him my email, but he has not emailed me, so... he's free to reach out anytime. He's free to reach out. As is everybody. If anybody ever wants to contact me personally, two ways I always recommend you do that. Telegram. You can find me at Logos Revealed on Telegram. And if you guys want to send me an email, because I know there's a lot of people that still operate with email, primarily, because it's a lot more private. You can email me. It's logosrevealed88@gmail.com. If you guys want to ever... ask a question, bring up a thought, whatever you have. I try to get back to them as quick as I can. If I have not gotten back to you, I do apologize. But I'm a little crowded on messages. I think Telegram, I'm at 370-something on red messages, which is... It's so hard to keep up with these things without sitting on my phone like all day. And I just don't want to do that. I hate that. I really don't like being on technology more than I have to be. All right, folks. I think we might close up here. Chats are slowing down a little bit. I kind of finished up the topic for today. We mostly focused on it the first half of the show, talking about culture, its importance, you know, why it's necessary in societies, and why multiculturalism is always doomed to fail. So... culture is a very broad subject, which can go in a lot of different directions, which I think it did today. I'm thinking one of our next shows, I might try to cover Christmas and how Christmas has been subverted by Jews. I'm not sure if we're going to do that like this week or maybe try to wait a little closer to Christmas time. But I really want to do a show covering that. And I also have another show planned whenever the hell I can get it set up. I would like to do another 12-hour marathon show. We haven't done one of those in a while. So I'd like to do one discussing how America specifically has been subverted. You know, we talk about Jewish subversion in history and all these different movements and stuff. But I want to do one that goes directly into America and how America itself has been subverted. Because there's so many avenues that they've subverted America. Through the media, through culture, through even this like concept of the American dream is really like a Jewish materialist subversion. It's lost its kind of way. So I want to try to cover America as best I can. So I'm writing an outline for that at the moment. Once that's finished up, we'll get some kind of a show scheduled and we'll do that. With that said, I think we're going to close up here. It's a little bit early, maybe 15 minutes or so. But I do appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank you guys. I do appreciate the patience as well. I know we weren't doing any shows last week, and I apologize for that. You know, could go into details, but there's no reason to. Just have a lot of personal stuff going on. So I do apologize for the lack of shows. Just had to get that motivation kind of built up. So we will we'll close today's show out. We'll be live on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern on the Stu Peters Network and all my other channels. So make sure that you are following me on all of those. You can find everything through my bio site link on my Twitter page. It's also in my description underneath all of my streams as well. It's just bio site, bio.site/logosreveal, something like that. You'll find it. It's easy to find. You click on that link and it'll bring you to absolutely all of my stuff. So, alrighty. Thank you folks again for watching. I really do appreciate it. And I will see you guys on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And a very big thank you to all the super chats today. We had quite a few of them. I really appreciate it, guys. Definitely helps keep this show rolling. So, all right. Thank you, guys. And have a wonderful day. And I'll see you guys Wednesday.